I think literature is a way of people laying out their insights into the mystery of the human condition, into society and how people operate, and into the fundamental questions about human questions about origin, destiny, and about life, loving and living. All of those issues are dealt with in literature, and getting published, for instance, is a method that a writer uses for attempting to address some of these issues and hoping somebody else will be interested in them too.
And did you always feel that? Well, I mean, most of us would have memories from days when we were 8, 9, 10 years of age of sort of sitting in a classroom and going through poems and having to learn things. Did you feel that yourself?
No, I loved the learning of poems. And I, in fact, as a child in school, I learnt poems that weren't on the curriculum that I came across and I learnt them for myself because I enjoyed them. And I remember, and this is revealing it perhaps in what I may say just in a few minutes in this interview, I remember learning, and it wasn't on the curriculum, large extracts from the Rubaiyat of the Omar Khayyam, who was a 13th century atheist philosopher, a Persian philosopher. You know, the moving finger writes and having writ moves on, nor all thy piety nor wit can lure it back to cancel half a line, nor all thy tears wash out a word of it, which was totally contrary to the Christian culture in which I was brought up. But I just loved the language.
Had you particular favourites?
Well, the Rubaiyat was a particular favourite of mine.
Were you regarded as eccentric?
Oh, not at all. I wouldn't have let anybody know this because I might have been regarded as eccentric. But there was a master in school who he taught us different things. I remember he taught us Roman history and he taught maths as well. He also taught English to the senior school, but he used to come into our more junior classes, and he'd come in with his gown flying, he'd bang a book down on the desk, and he'd just start reading from it without a word. And that's where I was introduced to the Rubaiyat, because he did that one day. And extracts from Don Camillo and anything, virtually. And after about 3 or 4 minutes, he'd finish the extract, bang the book closed and say, "Now, boys, what do we have to do today?" And he stimulated in me this tremendous interest. Where's all this stuff coming from? Because we didn't get... The fellow who taught us English literature at that stage was... He should have been a civil servant. He wasn't a teacher at all, really. And all he did was scrag us in class for not learning off by heart half a dozen verses per night of Gray's Elegy. And Gray's Elegy was his great thing. Well, I loved Gray's Elegy too, and all of that easily accessible poetry of that period.
And as you moved on, which sort of poems, which sort of poets inspired you?
Well, of the modern poets coming up to the present, I suppose my very favourite poem of all is a poem by Robert Frost. I love Robert Frost. And some poetry of Richard Murphy, who's a poet of the west of Ireland. His famous poem is The Cleggan Disaster, a disaster that hit the village of Cleggan. Also very funny. I mean, I'm sure, not sure what Americans think of it. He's got a poem called The Last Galway Hooker. And of course, he's referring to a boat, not the American sense. But Richard Murphy, I absolutely love, and Robert Frost. I read T.S. Eliot too. And again, like a lot of people, there's much of it I don't understand. You have to work too hard at it. It's not easily accessible. But then, like a lot of things in life, it rewards work done. If it's too easily accessible sometimes, poetry is not that satisfying.
Do you think poetry is going to survive in this age when everything's being dumbed down and... when we're moving to a much more visual age, do you think the written word is going to retain the power it had in the past?
Well, when television came in the 50s, I remember well people saying, and it was the conventional wisdom, that's the end of cinemas. The cinemas will all be closed down, and they did become bowling alleys and things for a while. But people were absolutely certain this was the end of cinema, and of course it wasn't. It came back with a bang, and filmmaking is an important artistic medium, and now you get these multiplex cinemas and so on. It didn't happen. I think the same thing with poetry. I think good poetry will always survive.
Pat, you published a collection yourself recently, and there was one particular poem I noticed called The Stone Thrower, and perhaps you'd read it to us.
Well, as you know, Ian, I spent 33 years in the ministry of the Church of Ireland, and had some insights into clergy and lay people, and this is one that I wrote as a result of those experiences. It's called The Stone Thrower. The service over, he disrobes and puts each item in its place and leaves the church, drives to the house of the parish theologian, the thinking man. He takes up stones and hurls them through the windows at the back. To tinkling glass he shouts, "You weren't in church, get up, come out, you let me down." The church was full of old women of both genders, watching every move and every word, determined by their scrutiny to imprison life in liturgy and to affirm their allegiance to the tribe, abhorring everything that disturbs the equilibrium of their dependence.